Well, good day again, everybody. Good to be with you all on this 30th day of May, 29th for you over on the other side of the world. You've got to catch up. You'll have to move here. It's good to have you all and those coming in and listening to the recording. We pray you are having a very blessed day and evening. You know, it's a wonderful thought when we think that we none of us have to be nervous about coming to the Lord. It's just our sins. If we keep them, that's something to be nervous of, and we can't carry them. Thank you, Jesus. The first song, the opening song for tonight, you may be familiar with, is called Oh, Where Are the Reapers? And those who know the song or learn it as they're listening to it for the first time, please feel free to take a line. Oh, where are the reapers, the garner in? The sheaves of the good from the fields of sin. With sickles of truth must the work be done, and no one may rest till the harvest home. Where are the reapers? Oh, who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin?
Go out in the byways and search them all. The wheat may be there, but the weeds are tall. Then search in the highway and pass none by, but gather them all for the home on high. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Or who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin?
The fields are all ripening far and wide. The world now is waiting the harvest tide. But reapers are few and the work is great, and much will be lost should the harvest wait. Where are the reapers? Oh, who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin?
So come with your sickles, ye sons of men, and gather together the golden grain. Toil on till the Lord of the harvest come, then share ye his joy in the harvest home. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Or who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin?
Amen and amen. Thank you, dear brother. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, Jesus said that pray for laborers to enter the field. So it's not alone up to us. it is. We're part of it. And humbly, our work can be accepted in the Lord. Marvelous thought. Well, welcome once again, everyone that has entered the room. Good to see you all. And it's really good to be here. We'll open up with a word of prayer before we start our reading in the Book of Acts. And let's do that now. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of a tongue, for a voice, for the gift of tongue to speak the truth, which has clearly reached us in these last days through faithful men and women of old, our forebears, who have written, who have spoken the truth, who have it recorded, whether personally themselves or dictating it. Thank you for the many cloud of witnesses that we have. I pray we don't lose sight of this in face of any form of persecution or trial, and especially temptation that we are facing at the moment or soon to come unknown to us. I thank you that it's not unknown to us what constitutes sin and hence what temptation will look like, what it will sound like, and how Jesus, your life, will help us close our ears and shut our eyes from beholding and coming apart by beholding evil without it encouraging it or having a part in some other way, by presence or by silence in the presence of the evil. Thank you for taking care of precious prayer requests, both silent and known, for giving us spiritual eyesight to see you working in our lives, and for ourselves to have personal fellowship with you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We also ask that the heavenly angels will be in the midst of our dear brethren and sisters, whether they're gathering together like here online or abroad out in the field or at their trade, at their secular job, being a homemaker, whatever the position, that you would continue to guide and lead them and bless them with all the light that our faith can grasp. We pray a rich blessing will be poured out upon us each as we open the Word of God and believe it to be such, and with all, be careful how we handle it. We claim the promise to do this as we yield ourselves as instruments in your hands by faith. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing where we left off from last week. And going over last week, we had Paul explaining that he wasn't disobedient unto the heavenly vision that he'd received, as he was sharing this with King Agrippa and Festus and the audience and the rulers. And that in relation to that vision, he preached to the Jews, he preached to the Gentiles, he preached to the small, he preached to the great. And what did he preach? Number one was brought out that they should repent. With repentance must come, there's a knowledge of what to repent of. So we know that would be sin. The sin is the transgression of the law. Two, turn to God was the second part of his preaching and his message that he was sharing with the Jews, the Gentiles, the great and the small. And three, do works meet, and the word is meet in KJV, also synonymous with suitable or proper for repentance. So that which would be in accordance to being contrary to the former life, putting on the new man, the new woman, new creature in Christ Jesus, made unto good works. And he tells us that Paul was telling them that, including King Agrippa, that it was only for these causes, these three causes, that the Jews caught and went about to kill him. What was the matter with them? Well, you know, Jesus said something that's interesting in Luke 11:52. He says, "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered." So they had the key of truth themselves, or the key of knowledge. They weren't going in themselves, and they weren't going to let others either. And especially when others were trying to get in. You know, have you noticed in since the beginning of sin in this world, it seems to be a tendency that you just don't want to keep it to yourself. You want others to join in with it, or you want to spread it. It's like it's a disease, but it's something that's not seen as a disease, humanly speaking, carnally speaking. I mean, we see this in Adam and Eve. Eve sins. She doesn't keep that to herself. She's sure that it's got a lot to give, as the devil deceived her, and passes it on to Adam. Adam could have said no, of course. So, as he went on in this chapter, we covered also that he was helped by God. It wasn't just Lysias, but that was part of it, but he could have been killed, but he wasn't. Helped by God. He continues on to this day, right before King Agrippa, and before everyone else. And he also, Paul brought out something else about what was also contained in the preaching, and that was the resurrection. We found that Christ is the first fruits of them that slept, the firstborn from the dead. He was also the first to proclaim that the dead shall live through faith in him. No human being has ever done that. Any other religion, that just, this is the highest claim. He's not only claiming to be God, he's claiming to be the God of the resurrection. And as we find also in Colossians, Christ was first in prominence and as the author of life. He's conquered death. He guaranteed life to all who trust in him and in his power. And his resurrection is a pledge to all of us who should be faithful to the end to have a part in it. And hence why it can be said he's the one that's brought life and immortality to life. And you know, although Moses was risen from the dead, was the first risen from the dead, it was only because of Christ. And who raised Moses from the dead, by the way? Wasn't it the great I Am? Jesus, who we call Jesus today? Amen. Michael, the Lord God Michael. Amen. Now, as you know, Festus calls Paul mad, and Paul responds calmly that he is actually telling the truth, and in soberness, and Paul challenges Festus and the rest that if the things he speaks is not true, then bear witness. He said this, like, if it's false, I made it up and the disciples did steal away the body, you'll be able to prove it. You'll be able to say where it is or where the disciples, what they told about it. But he didn't say anything. There's nothing on the record, which tells us that obviously it was true. These were people that lived in the same generation. And then King Agrippa, those famous words, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It sounds so good, doesn't it? And we don't hear anything else about Agrippa thereafter, but almost saved is to be totally lost. So that's where we got up to. So we're up to verse 30, and I'll continue reading. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Question in the room, who is Bernice? I believe that's Agrippa, King Agrippa's wife, who's with him. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone. I believe that's Bernice, King Agrippa's wife. Or maybe it was his sister. Okay, might have to look back on that. Oh, thanks for that, sis. Okay, so it's his wife. It's interesting here. Agrippa says that there's nothing we can do because he's asked to appeal to Caesar. It's like it's out of our hands. Once he said that, that's it. Now Rome hears about it and they're expecting their prisoner to come so they can come to what they call the Supreme Court, if you like. The final, there's no appeal after the judgment's given here, which when you think about it, there's a lot that could come out of this. I mean, if Paul were to win, it would be heard that one of the greatest heralds of the gospel has been freed from the accusations of the Jews. It could be more accepted. Of course, that didn't happen in terms of Paul lost his head. That's what happened to Paul, but he was preserved for years to come, and he did get to witness, and in fact, people of Caesar's own household were converted. But it's interesting, Agrippa says it's out of my hands, we can't. Now, if we remember what we've read in the past, we know that Lysias, Felix, Festus had all concluded the same thing that Agrippa is, that he was innocent of any violation of Roman law. And Felix detained Paul for personal reasons and to please the Jews. And Festus continued the policy of conciliating the Jews at Paul's expense. And now Festus and Agrippa specifically has brought out there's nothing we can do now to stop him from going to Rome because he's appealed there and to Rome he has to go. So there was obviously a system in place. He couldn't get out of this. You know, Agrippa seems the closest to becoming a Christian out of all these other individuals. You had Lysias, Felix, Festus, and Agrippa appears almost to top it, and he happens to be king on the top in terms of, you know, rulership and power. Does anyone have any insights to share, any comments, any questions before we move on to chapter 27? Please always feel free.
I think that's interesting that he might have been set at liberty had he not appealed unto Caesar. So what was there about Caesar that was different from Agrippa? Was it Agrippa was closer to Christianity than Caesar? Maybe it was Caesar didn't know anything about Christ. I don't know.
Okay, by the way, Caesar, we know, is a name given for the Emperor of Rome, coming from Augustus Caesar. And so the actual reigning emperor at this time is Nero. So we know a little bit about, well, not a lot about him. It's not good, his record. Would have been fantastic if he repented of the record before he died, or killed himself, rather. But I've understood it that from Acts of the Apostles that once Paul had said, once he was given the option from, I think it was Festus, are you willing to be heard at Jerusalem? Paul knew obviously he wasn't going to win at Jerusalem because it'll be under their jurisdiction, the Sanhedrin, and they all wanted his blood. So the only other option, as a Roman citizen, he said, well, I've done nothing immoral to anyone. So I, as long as it'll be justly done, I'd rather appeal to Caesar, not my own. It must be a sad thing, among other things listed by Paul of wickedness going on in the world and in the church, was brethren being against him. And, you know, these were his brethren by blood, Jews that he had a lot of earlier involvement with, and he couldn't trust them. So once he'd said that, that goes on record. You know, they don't text it or email it, but the message gets to Rome, and they can't appeal from that. It has to go through there. That's my understanding from Acts of the Apostles' comment on it. Does anyone have anything? That's right. Caesar means he's the head of the whole empire. Yeah. The first Caesar, if you like, was Augustus, as we know, in before BC. Does anyone have anything else, perhaps to add to this this question and this comment put forth?
Yeah, I was gonna add that I think that Festus had the power as governor there to release Paul, even though he had appealed to Caesar. He could have said, well, you know, there's nothing worthy of a trial to go to Caesar because Paul is innocent, so I'm just going to release you on my own authority. But you also had King Agrippa there, who was of greater authority than was the governor. And Agrippa could have said on his own authority, Paul is released. There's nothing worthy of him even being incarcerated here. So there's no reason for him to go to Rome. So he's just going to negate the appeal to Rome. But I think that there was such a fear of offending Caesar, especially Nero, that they didn't want to have any kind of negative fallout come to Nero regarding the actions of Agrippa and Festus. And so they just wanted to play it as safe as possible because, you know, the Jews would have been among the first to accuse Agrippa and Festus of shenanigans regarding Paul, and they would have appealed all the way up to Nero. And then, of course, Nero, as fickle and as unpredictable as he was, they just didn't want to endanger their heads. So they just went along with the fact that here's an innocent man, but because of technicalities, he's going to Rome. We want to save our own skins.
Kind of like that today, isn't it?
So, I mean, you can see the devil's hand in all of this. Here's an innocent man who's still incarcerated, and it just doesn't make sense. But that's how the devil plays his hand. And he'll continue working in that way.
True, bro. True. And indeed, absolutely, what you're sharing about Festus, he it was different for him. He hadn't had that opportunity, Paul, to appeal to Rome. But once he did, it went down on record. And so when Agrippa wants to, hence why Agrippa says he could have been set at liberty. Well, hang on, you can set him at liberty. What do you mean he could have been set at liberty? But there's nothing, there appears to be something set in place there, as Acts of the Apostles brings out, that they could not overlook. But of course, Festus is a different story. Felix and Lysias, all of them could have let him go. I think that's what you were saying earlier. I got a bit distracted with some other questions, bro, but please share anything else. And anyone else, any questions, any comments?
just thinking about how the devil works, anything that'll cause anger unbalances your mind, and you're liable to make a lot of foolish decisions when you're angry and you're not consulting God.
Amen. And that's why in Hebrews it talks about the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Would someone like to read the next three verses of the new chapter, chapter 27?
And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and a certain other prisoner unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched many to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entered Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself.
Thank you, dear brother Joel. And you can see here we don't think the wrath of man was working in Paul here, for the very Julius who was watching over him was intrigued in Paul by his attitude. He was dealing with a different kind of prisoner, and because he gives him liberty to go to his friends and to refresh himself. Obviously, they found out that there was Christians there that knew him. And you have Aristarchus, who's mentioned a number of times in Paul's writings, who's there on purpose to minister to Paul, to be in the bondage. Now, we know Luke's with him, a physician, which is what Paul did need. He was actually sick, according to Acts of the Apostles, at this time. Probably a lot on the ship were seasick, etc. By the way, it begins traveling as we go through this story, but you have here being willing Aristarchus to suffer with him, and it's his joy to do it. And you can see that, I think, as Sister Joan and Brother Bob brought out earlier, that, you know, the wrath of man wrecks everything, and you don't spend time with God when that's the ruling power. You almost think, if not saying it, at least in actions, it's a waste of time to seek God in this instance. As soon as self intervenes, and self has so many facets and deceptions, I don't want to speak about its power, but, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches us that we can escape self. I mean, this is the greatest thing that even a secular person would acknowledge would be a real relief, not to be controlled by selfish motives. I mean, we look at the Ten Commandments and we see it all about what we can't do, mainly their don'ts. And then you think, well, who's going to watch my back? Well, that's just it. Everyone else keeping them will be watching your back because you will be keeping the Ten Commandments yourself. It's quite a thought. I mean, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, and what a joy that we can experience it now in our own homes. It's not in the whole world yet, but soon it will be as the waters covers the seas. Does anyone have any insights, anything they'd like to share, participate about? Please feel free.
Well, what a witness Paul was, because it shows that God was in him, Jesus was in him, because even though he was a prisoner, he was trusted because he was honest. And he didn't present any danger to them, so they trusted him. I mean, that certainly is the mark of a Christian.
Amen. Just like with Joseph. You know, here he's, his brothers betray him and sell him away, and he arrives in Egypt and then is sold to Potiphar, and Joseph had every, what we would call, right to complain and just be all bent out of shape and sad and disgruntled and discouraged and everything else. And here he is being as faithful as he possibly can in the position that he finds himself. And the only way he was able to do that is through prayer and trust in God to give him the grace and the strength to be a follower of God. It's going to be the same with us today. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, complaining about it isn't going to do much. It's only going to make it worse. But trusting in God and resting in his love and care for us and pleading for grace and strength to endure, you know, there's going to be people watching us to see how we respond. And they're going to be measuring how we respond by how they would have responded. And they're going to see a big difference, and that's going to make them curious. How could you possibly be happy under these discouraging situations? And that's the perfect chance to witness Christ.
Well, you're witnessing when you're not even saying a word. It's the way you're living that's really important.
Amen, brethren and sisters. It's quite a great point you brought up. I mean, Paul is a prisoner. Who knows what kind of prisoners he was with? But a good point also that the fact that he could be trusted and persuade others that he can be trusted as a prisoner. Marvelous. This is the grace of God. You know, how often does one get tempted as a Christian to sort of start slightly giving up on certain people? Maybe it's family members. Maybe it's, you know, long time friends, but now you're a Christian and they don't really want to know you. Or it seems that way. Normally you just think, oh, I'll just let them go, but as a Christian now, no. I mean, we're going to see later on Paul's attitude with these people. He didn't really know that well in the ship, but even if he did, I mean, he loved the Jews, he loved the Gentiles, he loved everyone, and that's Jesus working in him to be like that, because even when he's falsely accused and verbally abused and physically abused, can still sing about it, can acknowledge he's hurting, but he's going to forgive. He's going to be like Jesus. This is, as you're saying, Brother Bob, this is what grabs the attention of people, because they do gauge it by themselves. Because one without a savior, that's all they gauge it by themselves. They've got no one to gauge it by. They are the criteria. And when they work out, well, why, you know, if it were me, and then they tell you their witness, they witness to you, and then you can tell them why, you know, why I won't do that. And, you know, if you have a story like many Christians, like most of us, you can probably say, you know, once upon a time I did use that. But then, and then you tell your Damascus story. It's just glorious.
And when he had launched from thence, when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia, I guess. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the masters and the owner of the ship, raised to Pago more than those things which Paul admonished. Wait a minute. Well, no, where was
start I? Start at verse 7, Brother Dick.
Okay, when we had sailed, he took his way, my arrow, and I'm lost. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Thindus, suffering us, we sailed under Crete against Salmoni. Is that what you want me to just read, 27? They didn't have a propeller and a rudder on that ship, and so they had to go where the wind blew them.
Yeah, amen. I love the different details they give here. They're very specific, and it's been a cause to believe it, if you could actually follow the directions and compare, because people have done that, especially one particular individual of this chapter, and he's brought out just how, by going there, how specific that only someone that was there in the boat could have written it, which we know, of course, was Luke, the physician, with Paul. So it is wonderful historical bringing out the historicity of the writer of the Book of Acts. Quite a historian. Does anyone have anything to add?
Well, in verse 10, all right. And hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, I can't see what's beyond the B there. The fast was now already past. Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hunger, much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So he didn't want to believe Paul at all. He wanted to believe the captain. He thought Paul didn't really know anything about it, which was sad, because Paul is getting direction from God, and this man does not know it.
Thank you, dear sis. Yeah, it's marvelous. He still has a relatively certain amount of his attention to be listened to, but just listened to enough to be said, I don't think so, Paul. I don't think your perception is as good as the master and owner of the ship. Now, Paul had had experience on the seas. We know, we've read of this. He was a day and a night in the sea, but he had traveled a lot, and they no doubt would have had some knowledge of that, being an evangelist that he was. You'd have to travel across the seas, etc. But it was not accepted as such. It was the idea that Paul could have supernatural help doesn't seem to have persuaded them in light of what their eyes could see and what their ears were hearing from the master and the owner of the ship. That seems to have some spiritual applications there. Does anyone have any insights they'd like to share? Any comments, any questions? I think it should be stated here, the fast mentioned in verse 9 is not the long fast that's coming up, which is the 14 days, but not that you all thought that, but sometimes I get that mixed up. I never forget, but I think it was a 14-day fast, aspects in this chapter, and I, you know, it's easy for me to get it mixed up, but it's referring to the fast day of the 10th day of the 7th month, which in the Jew calendar was Tishri. That was the typical Day of Atonement.
So I guess that since the fast took place at that time where in our calendar it would be October, so that would be in the middle of fall. So I guess that was a signal that the seasons were changing over and now it was going to become dangerous to sail.
Good point, brother. Yeah. Apparently at that time of the season in the Mediterranean, it is very boisterous, and as we'll see later on, next week, looking forward to it, what just happened? I know we all know the story, and we've got pictures in our mind, and looking forward to that. But yeah, good point, brother. Yeah, that's exactly what it's suggesting, the explanation that we can deduce from this information about the fast, that it was already passed, and what time of the year it was. Well, we'll leave it there for this week, and pick up in verse 12, the rest of the voyage, where Paul will make it to Rome. There was already the promise given him that he must testify to Rome. What a wonderful thought you could have all along your journey. If you know God's got a plan for you, that although you don't live in the future, you can take him in the present, the only place where you can live and trust him. And the more that you do that and recognize how he's going to make sure the end happens, you can be sure everything in between, as long as I stay in the covenant relationship with my God, he'll be my personal helper, he'll be my personal God, and I will reach the harbor that God wants all of us to reach, heaven. Marvelous indeed. Well, shall we open it up to a season of prayer? If there is any requests, any praises to share, perhaps you could share that first before we do so, or vice versa. Please feel free to share before we do.
I wanted to let you know that Sister Parma responded to my email, and she said that in about 2 weeks she will know whether her foot that has 5 broken bones in it is going to need surgery or not. And she's really looking forward to getting back home and fellowshipping with her church family. So she says to let everybody know she's coming back. It's just going to be a couple weeks yet. So please continue to hold her up in prayers.
Oh, indeed, we will, brother. That's wonderful. Yeah, I was thinking of her a couple of days ago and yesterday. I know she must be, you know, in a difficulty to send email replies, etc., but I'm so glad to hear that. That's fantastic. Did you say that she's got 5 fractures in her foot. What happened with the actual going through the operation? Did you just mention that, or it's yet to be confirmed?
No, she hasn't had surgery yet. The doctors weren't sure if the bones were going to mend where they the positions they were in, or if it would require surgery to make it so she could walk. So they've been waiting this 6 weeks for the bones to heal, and then I guess they're going to get her up to walk and see how everything works. You know? She said it was a pretty bad break, but I still don't know how it happened, whether it was an accident or something fell on her foot, or I don't know how it happened. But she still hasn't had surgery, and I guess there's 2 weeks to go to get that 6-week bone healed, you know, threshold. And then I guess the doctors are going to determine whether there needs to be surgery or not. But you can just imagine she's unable to walk on it because 5 bones need to mend. And it must really be trying her patience to have to stay in bed or hobble along, you know. But, you know, in an earlier correspondence, she said her faith is strong. But, you know, she would definitely like prayers to be with her continuously.
I had a chance to talk with my gardener today, and a while back he was needing a total knee replacement, which we were all praying that the surgery would go fine and that he would heal up very well. And he said that our prayers were answered, that and he showed me his knee was straight. He said he's not having any pain in the other knee now, and that's probably because there's no stress put on the other knee now that the one knee is straightened up. And he just wanted to praise God for the healing, because he said that the physical therapist who was working with him said it was a miracle that he healed up so fast and so well. So we were able to just praise God for interfering in something that could have been very bad, but actually making it something good where we could praise him. That was a high point today.
Well, that's fantastic, sis. Thank you so much. That's just wonderful. And he's another guy that, you know, I'm so glad we have paper and pen. You know, sometimes you can forget things. It depends how long the list might be, and of prayer lists and that. And we're still remembering that dear fellow. I don't know his name, but your gardener. I'm so glad to hear that. It's so good when someone else says it. Who's a nurse? I think you said it's the nurse said it's a miracle. He's doing so well. You know, that's fantastic. Praise the Lord. I know Sister Lucy has had something great to share with you a week ago or two, and I don't know, I'm not going to share on her behalf, but you can be sure it had something to do with your prayers to Jesus. It was really good for me to hear it, but I'll leave it to her to share. So we'll just call that a silent vocal praise. And it's really good. Good news. And I have a prayer, I guess a prayer and a praise. Travis is still here, which is good. That's a miracle in itself. He hasn't left. He loves it out here. He says it's peaceful. I said, yeah, that's what struck me about it. And I said, it's nice, isn't it? He said, yeah. And he's even possibly he's going to be given work shortly, paid work, which will be really good for his. I said I don't know who once coined it. It could have been in America or Europe, but the best welfare is having a job. If you can work, you know. And he agreed, and I'm glad he's really looking forward to it. But he doesn't have a wife. He says he's going to marry her, but they don't get along very well. But his girlfriend, Wendy, has had a bad turn. She's lost her second baby. She's lost a child, apparently 3 weeks. It was dead in her womb. And she's having side effects from the drugs that were given to bring that about. And so that's where he is now, actually. I had to take him a certain distance to get there. He doesn't have a car or a license. And I think she's coming through fine. He would have told me otherwise. And thank you for keeping her in your prayers. Her name's Wendy. And he has one child, as you know, Travis does. His name is Travis. But it's really good. I think and another thing is it's a miracle. He has a friend, DJ, and he left him a week ago. He said, see a DJ? And this DJ is the guy he was baptized with 3 or 4 weeks ago at a church. And DJ's been bashed. He's been robbed after Travis said goodbye and that, and 15 minutes down the track. And then he was hit by a car. We assume it was the car of one of the people that were attacking him. And he was put in an induced coma. And wonder of wonders, miraculously, he's come out, and he's all there. He's not quite sure what happened that night, I don't think, but he can talk, he can walk, so I'm really, and Travis was talking about the power of prayer, and I thought, that's just wonderful. He knows a number of people. He's really starting to get in a crowd of Christians, which is really good, and who knows, I might meet some of these people, but I'm really glad to hear it on his lips. It boosts my faith. You know, when we see other people's prayers answered in our own because of our faith in Jesus, answering them according to his perfect will, it just bolsters it. And I know Jesus knows this, doesn't he? Well, if there's nothing else, let's open it up to a season of prayer. Whoever would like to go first, please feel free, and thereafter, and I'll go last.
Brother James, I don't know if you saw in the chat, but Sister Jean was talking about a lady in Africa that needs special prayer. You saw it? Okay. Just checking.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you're a God close at hand and not far off, and that we can come to you in any time of need through Jesus Christ. And thank you, Savior, for making this possible and being our connecting link. Father, we pray for all of those who have been brought before us. Pray that you'll be with each one. Send your Spirit to comfort them and to lead them closer to the Savior and to give them encouragement to know that others are praying for them and that they are not forgotten and they don't have to go through this situation themselves. They have a Savior close at hand. We thank you so much for being a God who hears and answers prayers. And thank you for letting us know that you are interested in our welfare, in our lives, and especially our salvation. Thank you that we're a day closer to being with you forevermore. And help us to get ready and to help others to get ready as well. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear Lord, for the answered prayers, for the courage and strength you give us every day, for leading us along through life, for caring that much about us, that you would depend on us to get your word out to the rest of the world, to our friends, to our acquaintances, that you love them and there is so much better than the greatest thing in this world waiting for those who belong to God. Thank you for Sister White, who was a very great instrument in your hands, and for the beautiful words that she has written about the Bible a lesser light shining on the greater light. Thank you, dear Lord, for our sight that we can read and for sending the Holy Spirit to open our understanding that we might receive a greater blessing than just reading the words. That you give us pictures and thoughts about what we read, and you make it like a living testament. Thank you for caring that much about all of us. Be with those who are hurting. Be with my friend who just recently lost her husband. They were married when they were in high school, and they have been together these many years, and she had to say goodbye. Be with her and comfort her in her sorrow, in her loss. And thank you, dear Lord, for saying you will do this. We ask now that you bless each one that is in this room, and those who couldn't make it, be with them and let them know that you are with them. Thank you, dear Lord, for being a God of love and showing us how to love others. In Jesus' name, amen.
And precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the prayers of your saints. Thank you so much for prayer requests and praises. It's so encouraging along our journey and this pilgrimage. Thank you for showing us our ultimate destination, heaven, and that it's here on earth where the fitting up goes on for a reason. It's to be prepared for that place, prepared from the foundation of the world. Thank you for causing us to fall in love with you back, to love you after we realize that you loved us first, that's why we love back. We would like this to expand, and I thank you for answers to prayer that we can see with our eyes and ears and hear and know you as a personal God who is involved intensely, more than we really ever will know. Such a wonderful thought and encouraging one. And we uphold dear Sister Benta in Kenya, who's been in hospital for 3 months, and her particular issue. We wish for the precious Holy Spirit, for you to give her your inspired words to uplift her, to keep her uplifted, to encourage her, and as Sister Joan said, that the precious things that have been put in writing by your servant Alan White, that they would be very encouraging to her as she sees the faithful of old going through trials and how they got the victory in Jesus. We also thank you for Sister Palmer continuing to be able to email and let us know how she's going. Thank you so much for this information, and we hope that she will continue to have the strength to continue to look forward when this will all be put in the background, and then this all be in the past, and that the doctors indeed will be blessed to diagnose her condition as a few more days are given, or longer. Thank you. I mean, help her work carefully with those 5 fractures, that nothing worse will be brought upon it, and especially that the temptation of being frustrated, being kept from usage of the foot, that she might gain precious graces that perhaps she couldn't get when she was on her feet. And God, I don't know why things happen to all of us, but you do. And if we believe that, you'll honor our faith as we look to you and speak of your power, of Jesus's power to overcome sin instead of, excuse me, looking at our enemy and all his powers and all the sins he's caused us to commit with our willingness, directly, indirectly, and just keep looking up to the one who's won, not to the one who's lost and will ultimately be destroyed. Thank you for this hope. We uphold precious silent prayer requests that mean so much to our brethren and sisters and myself, that in your timing and in your way, they will come to pass, and we won't miss them when they come to pass, even if the answer is wait at the moment. Or yes, and especially help to accept no. Thank you so much for being with dear Sister Jones Gardner. We really appreciate hearing him doing so well after his knee replacement, so he too can be back on his feet and not limited, perhaps even continue gardening even. And dear souls that have lost loved ones recently, seeing the tears in their eyes, Jesus, we know the shortest verse in the scriptures is, he wept. And that's you who wept. And you being the resurrection and the life brought that very one you wept over for the sadness on everyone else's face and the unbelief even, not understanding what you were capable of doing. And although it's held back until the last day, and pray for those who've lost loved ones, they might see it as last day is not code for never, but code for get ready, code for being ready, whether we live or die to be the Lord's instead of being ourselves, to be the Lord's bought with a price instead of being ourselves continuing in sin, and a servant and a bondman to it, which we know has its roots in the first sin of terrible ones. Please be with our precious brethren and sisters who are preparing for the big gathering in Kampala, to Catholics, Protestants and others that are no doubt there, that the way would be prepared in the hearts and minds of those that are gathering there to be open-minded and open-hearted, and especially to know that their foundation must start and stop at the Word of God and not go into the traditions of others, no matter how high or big their names might be, even tooted up to all the way to heaven, that they might see the privilege of just believing like Jesus did and practicing on the principles that he alone followed, which shows us our Savior and scatters our darkness by giving us the light and life in men. This man that was made flesh, the Word that was made flesh, that we too might have a part in his life right now and escape all the apostate churches, all personal sin, all social sin, to sit in heavenly places with Jesus. In Jesus we pray, Father. Amen.
Well, the weather knocked me out for all that time. I lost my signal and said, what? I started to pray. I don't know if y'all heard me, but before I got very far into it, I realized that I was out. So I said, anybody hear me besides the Lord? No answer. I figured I was out for sure.
So glad you're back, Brother Dick. It wouldn't be the same without you.
Amen, sis. Well, good. We're glad to have heard of it, brother. And amen. It's at least the Lord knows. Nothing hidden from him. And that's a wonderful thought, you know. Jesus ever willing to clean our lives up right to the end of our life. We can really make him smile. Well, does anyone have any testimonies, any songs, requests they'd like to share before we close tonight or today? Please feel free.
Our YouTube channel has over 2,100 views and over 27,000 minutes of video watching. So praise God, it continues to go up.
That's great, brother. That's it. That's the only way is up with the Lord. That's fantastic. What a joy to think that people are listening, watching the truth, and praying about it, and taking little steps toward accepting what might be very foreign to them. Isn't it wonderful? It's such a joy when you see someone else sharing the gift that you've found in the scriptures, some particular truth or any truth, and you see the effect on their faces, or you hear it, you can see it in the email. I mean, even the negative things that might be said, you know, I think it really tests your faith to find even greater answers, to answer, because it's usually when truth isn't accepted, it can be palmed off with the question that hasn't been answered, that it hasn't refuted what's been shared. So it causes you to dig deeper. Well, this song attracted my attention before coming online. You will see your Lord coming. You will see your Lord coming. You will see your Lord coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity. We will spend eternity. We will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
You will see your Lord a-coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over. Then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air. I can't even imitate the trumpet anymore. Sorry about that.
Thank you, dear bro. Thank you, brethren and sisters. Great to hear the duo. May there be many more to come.
That was a great trumpet.
Well, dear ones, is there anything you'd like to share before we round up tonight? And have our dear brother Dick sing us that wonderful song. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Please do so. And appreciate your appreciation, your participation tonight. It's so good to fellowship with one another.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not keep on looking up.
Thank you for our marching orders, dear brother. Bless you all. Take care. God bless and hugs and love.